Those chimpanzees would be an improvement to Candace Owens' sex life. That's all I'll say.
Interesting. Let's bleep that too.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Killing Them Softly. This is our political report podcast. I'm joined by a thrintupular threesome here with Caesar and Bam from We Made Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Going mano on me. Sean couldn't be here because we did this kind of really quickly, honestly, scheduling this. So didn't work for everyone's schedules.
You guys know why.
But look, I wish Sean the best in Animal Crossing, is my point. But we're gathered here today because we have four hashtags to talk about. This is the latest thing that has happened where I feel like it's like a part time of year, like in the summer, where the killings of black people by cops just start rising up. And I'm pretty sure there's some like statistics that might be behind this to some extent. It's just really happening right into gear. I mean, should we start it off with like what has kind of led us to today? Do y'all have anything to kick it off with?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're on the currently as we're recording. There's big riots in Minneapolis and other cities. There's been protests here in Los Angeles, around the country. People are showing their, you know, out there in the streets, showing how disappointed they are in the police in Minneapolis. And I mean, it would be nice if, like, while we're recording this, we get some breaking news that at least one of those cops got arrested. But as of now, they haven't. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into all the details, but it's going down right now.
Yeah, this is going to be, do you know if there is, because at the time we're recording, this is the 28th of May. And in the evening and yesterday, there was really popping off in Minneapolis. Although I have some points about that. There's some interesting developments.
Oh, I've
yeah, and Los Angeles as well.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff too.
That's it, you know.
Yeah, it's very interesting what's going on here. But what we are going to talk about is kind of taking this from the beginning, because this has been a culmination. You could kind of pop in and see like the riots and the buildings burning and going like, you might be wondering how we got to this point. And so that's what we do on Political Report. We provide you the context. We get you the knowledge. We come in real correct with like what's kind of happening. So first off, this happened kind of earlier in the year with Breonna Taylor. What do we start this? Basically, this is one of those cases where a woman, a 26-year-old, was shot and killed inside of her own apartment by police who were conducting drug raid, or at least so they thought. They knocked on the door. The police were in plain clothes. The cars were in plain clothes. They just had weapons, and they had a warrant to search for illegal drugs. This was in early March. But they just fired immediately in with no remorse or any care whatsoever.
I think she was shot 8 times.
Yes. The police department did take action, of course. They announced that no knock search warrants would be required, would not require the police chief's approval. So and the idea of a no knock search warrant.
And I think a judge's approval also.
Okay, good, a judge. Thank God this is in the legal system's hands now. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Of course, thanks.
Yeah, it's just like the 911 call is just like, of course, as always, just dude being there calm, because if he's fanatical, he's going to get shot too on 911, being like, somebody kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend. That's just like, can you imagine the tragedy and trauma that must bring you, but you have to kind of just like, in that moment, like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard about that, I was like, damn, we just had Tatiana Dufferson last year, where that cop shot her through the window and killed her, you know, like, a no-knock warrant already is crazy, but it's weird, like, thinking of this concept, you're busting in somebody's house at night, and you're suspecting, like, they're selling narcotics or something like that. I would think, why don't you just like wait till the morning and see if anybody comes out and then apprehend them then? Like, why are you busting in the middle of the night? Like, just chill in your car. I mean, do you think it's a trap house? There's like 30 dudes inside whipping sodas?
I mean, it's an apartment, so like...
It doesn't seem make sense to me that like... Whenever you hear about these stories about like, oh, like when people die, there's always the excuse is always some that like some minor protocol wasn't followed or something. But like, why does when there's some kind of protocol or something not followed, does an entire death have to occur? It doesn't add up to me that officers who are supposed to be trained for a long time can be in a situation where they see a lady enter a home and then they go, oh yeah, even if they're whipping up drugs, let me just go spray bullets in her. Like, I don't understand what's the situation you're dealt with. Did they open a door and they mistake a bazooka in there? Like, what really went down? Because even if that it took you 8 bullets to handle the situation, like I don't know, because if you're suspect, unless she was the primary suspect, then like what's the real deal? That's like, it doesn't even seem like she was supposed to be the person. So like, why is she getting 8 bullets of lead pumped in her?
Well, I could be mistaken there, maybe you know, but wasn't it the wrong house or no?
Well, yeah, clearly, because they weren't selling drugs.
Yeah. Okay. So her boyfriend, they bust down the door, her boyfriend starts shooting.
Really?
Yeah, Kenneth Walker. He got arrested.
The charge has since been dropped.
Okay. Maybe I read conflicting reports, but to my knowledge, I thought that the cops busted the door and he started shooting at them, and then they shot his girlfriend, and then that's why he was arrested, and taken in. But I don't know.
I don't know that aspect of the story really, but I just know basically in this case, it's another instance of I'm not even sure if the police have even been arrested in this case, charged.
I don't think so.
I'll look into that, but like while I'm checking that, let's go into Ahmaud Arbery.
Well, I'll just gonna say one more thing about the Breonna Taylor thing. Like, I don't know exactly where this was, like this neighborhood, but definitely, like there's a reality to these situations that I think all three of us as Black men know, that a certain type of person or people in a certain type of area do not get treated that way. Like, you're not expecting the cops to go do that, act like that in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, if somebody knows what I mean by that. Like, they're not gonna go and act like that and like be.
Well, like, why are you afraid to say it? Like, why are you afraid to say it?
It's well,
like,
people should do some research.
There's Dylan Roof was like a white domestic terrorist, and he was arrested after shooting up like all these like shootings are blowing together. So I don't even know
if 9 people died.
The racially. Yeah, pretty sure it was the Baptist church where like so it was like a racially you could say racially tensed shooting, and. They decided to go, take him to get Burger King first?
Yes.
Like, as they were arresting him?
Yeah.
So, like, there's definitely not just, like, a two-tier justice system, but, like, that Family Guy paint swatches meme of, like, at what point do you get treated like a human being and at what point you're treated like an animal? Like, the one point you were saying, Caesar, where, like, why would you, as a police officer, kind of even go forward and shoot in there? It's like, have you ever seen one of those signs at a in a neighborhood that says "Drive like your kids live here"? It's like blow your entire case into a window like your kids live here. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, shoot like there's Black people over there. It's just one of those things where certain people, certain neighborhoods are going to get that kind of treatment. A no-knock search warrant or a no-knock warrant, like that's literally giving the police a license to treat life and death like a video game. Like, there's no other reason to be busting down a door like that unless you're like trying to act like it's an action movie and you're just like itching for some kind of like chaos. Even a trap house might have babies in there. You know? Like, I can't.
Yeah, there's a story of like of another one of these cases where like the police came into someone's house and it was the wrong house, but they unloaded and shot a kid in his crib and just died.
Yeah.
It's just like, imagine you're just not expecting that, and just all of a sudden that's your reality. Like, it's crazy to imagine people live that.
You can't tell me that there's an invested interest in protecting people when you're able to go guns blazing into locations, when there's incidents where there's 70 shots fired and it's at two people, and they talk about LAPD having like the lowest, they're talking about their statistics showing LAPD takes more shots towards people and like hits less people than any organization. So it's like, what, they're just like going in like unloading ARs at people? Like, I don't understand. Like, where if the on the car says to protect and serve, what are you protecting and serving when it comes to black people? When it comes to minorities, what are you protecting and serving? Because to me, like, even someone can go, oh, whatever, like, if the whack discussion goes, oh, you can't just say that about black people, fucking whatever, because there's videos in the past about even, like, people of all backgrounds getting treated the same. But right now, like, what we're seeing is the consistent trend, and it's really fucking annoying because nothing changes since the super rise in videos in 2015 with the cams on the chest. I remember when everybody was going hard saying that, oh, yeah, well, when they start putting those GoPros on their chest, things are going to change. They don't give a fuck, dude. It doesn't matter. How many GoPros have I seen of someone behind the trigger of someone getting popped already?
Somebody, people just planting drugs with the body camera.
It's almost like they put that in just to show off now.
Facts.
Yeah, like, so there are definitely a lot of officers who have been seen just using the body cameras to basically almost show off, but it has gotten, like, it's not going to fix all the cases. It's never going to be a silver bullet, but it has helped a number of cases. So it's a net good to have them, but you ultimately get your point where it's just like, obviously it's just like that they're giving crumbs to this issue.
Look, I feel like we should get to the culture of policing after we talk about these cases, because that's going to be like, we should talk about after we talk about George Floyd, because I got a lot to say about that. I don't want to say it all before we get into these other cases. I'm going to go off and Dan's going to make us do this over again.
Sean's going to show up and Dan's going to be like, so do you guys want to do the whole beginning again? And now the Sean's here.
Scrap all of the really offensive parts when I started talking about the types of crackers you could buy at Target or acquire from Target, let's say. But what is the – Cesar, do you have any other points you want to go into?
The only thing I was just going to say about the body cam is, like, you know, I know it's meant for use for helpful in cases, but it's like, if you're posting videos and everybody talks about these videos and there's always a comment saying, well, we don't know the entire crime yet, there's just never going to be, like, for these situations, video evidence. It's like only in policing does, like, video evidence not substantial enough for people. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're watching these door cameras of someone snatching Amazon boxes. We're okay. We know what's going on here. But as soon as a cop has a knee on someone's neck, we go, well, we don't know the entire situation. So we should really see what's going on here. That's annoying. But yeah, I can see you next time. Sorry. Go ahead.
I completely get you, but we'll definitely get into it in the other cases. Yeah. So Ahmaud Arbery is a different case because it wasn't necessarily a police officer, but the issue was our favorite thing in America, vigilante justice, where a father and son duo teamed up and did a little bit of neighborhood watch, America's second favorite thing. And they caught up with Ahmaud Arbery, who was just taking a run in his area. And he was just 25 years old when in February he was shot to death. They were joking about it. They were like racially insensitive things that were definitely said about it and made fun of it. There was definitely a compared to the idea of it being a lynching. And so that was really bad, obviously. But another bad thing about this and even the Breonna Taylor case was that weeks went by and nothing really happened. It wasn't until there were some social media people who like I'll just say out front, like, some of these social media people who are like uplifting these things, it's good they're spreading the message, but a lot of them are really self-interested and just on it for the money. Like, I'm not going to name names there per se, but
Sean King, like, was on that pretty hard.
Yeah, that's essentially who I'm talking about. But yeah. With
shots fired,
essentially with this case, it took a lot of attention in social media for the police officers to do anything. In the last case, with Breonna Taylor, the police chief decides to resign, not even effective right now. It's going to be another month or so, June 30th, when that happens. So maybe we'll be a Political Report 14 at that point. But maybe we will. Also, at that point with Ahmaud Arbery, it's just like another sad thing where it's like, what can you actually do in this country? He was just running, he was jogging. And one terrible thing with this was the character assassination that immediately happened after this, where they're saying, oh, well, these people were watching the neighborhood because there had been robberies in the area recently and he had matched this description. And it's like, you almost do a checkbox of like, we could do like victim blaming bingo on like, what are they going to say about this kid? Like, oh, he was arrested before, he had a previous record. Oh, he was selling drugs. Oh, he had drugs on him. Oh, he had drugs in the system. Drugs would be the free space. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Character assassination happens, especially when it's like, oh, like this person died, and the first discussion point is like, well, let's find out what these neighborhood patrol guys' motive were. Like, they must have had some good reason for this. Oh, here's a random Amazon camera video of him walking into an empty building that's being constructed while he was on the jog. So, like, that seeing that is like some kind of like wannabe reason. I'm like, oh, I forgot that was warranted to murder people now. I totally forgot. You looking into a building that being constructed, you should get murdered for that. No, for sure. That's exactly right.
Like, I had this tweet where I said, like, anytime you see one of these character assassination stories, you should automatically add to the end of the headline, and that's why they deserve to be murdered. And that's how you can understand the intent of the article. So whenever it's like, so-and-so was in possession of an illegal firearm, and that's why they deserve to be murdered. Just, like, continue adding that to the end. They were trespassing, and that's why they deserve to be murdered. We're selling dope. That's why they deserve to be murdered. Just keep adding that to the equation.
You know,
that's how it always is.
You know, it's really interesting, too. These character assassinations for any black person that gets killed by a vigilante or police, whatever, you can't find anything about a white shooter. Nothing comes out. That guy shot up Stoneman Douglas. You hear, oh, yeah, he was like a Trump supporter, maybe, that goes away. You don't know if that's real or not. You don't know anything about his background. Dylan Roof, yeah, oh, yeah, he had some Rhodesia jacket or something. We don't know anything about his grades, if he ever got arrested before. The guy who shot up the movie theater in Colorado, I just know that he had some green hair.
Yeah, that's it.
The only time they don't get away with it is when, like, half the shooters you mentioned basically wrote fucking manifestos going, like, here's why I'm about to kill some motherfuckers.
Yeah. But you don't even hear about the manifesto. Yeah, yeah.
But even with that, you hear about the manifesto. Do you see anything really about it? Do you hear anything about this person's background? Other than, I would not have expected that from him.
Expected to do it. Yeah. Oh my God. He was always calm and quiet.
It's very obvious what goes on here with these narratives. Anytime we saw it with Trayvon Martin, we saw it with Mike Brown, we're seeing it with Ahmaud Arbery. We're gonna see it with George Floyd. We will be seeing it. And there already was. Like, they're saying there's some kind of counterfeit $10 bill or something like that. You're going to see, oh, well, you know, he left Texas to Minneapolis because he had some trouble, you know, like, you know why he had a white fiance. They're going to say anything. But these domestic terrorists, you're not going to find nothing about their grades, nothing, like, anything substantial. It will not happen.
Yeah, it's always the last person they expect to shoot up 9 people in a church and leave a manifesto and 32 injured. Oh, man.
Half the time, you don't even hear about these incidents.
But it's just really funny to me that these things can apply to individuals like this, because it's not like in life we ever get bad signals from people, right? It's just because people all around our lives all the time just smile at one day, and then the next day they're shooting up 32 people, right? Because and especially they have to be of that like specific race, and they're like, oh, they're so nice and everything. But as soon as it's anybody the color, well, I mean, what is he doing jogging at that time with his hoodie on? I mean, that's kind of suspicious. What is he running from? Like, I don't understand. Like,
you're right. There's this like implicit kind of like assumption based on.
We're guilty.
Our base ideas of this people. We're guilty before proven innocent.
We're guilty. As soon as we
step
out the door, we're guilty, and every black person knows that. Yeah. Like we live with that on a level that like people don't understand. We don't talk about it. We don't like sit around like, hey man, damn, you know, I seen a cop car and you know I was hoping that I didn't look like somebody. Like, we learn this stuff at an early age. We know that when we walk outside, we're guilty. We're just hoping that we don't run into people that killed Ahmaud Arbery. We're just hoping we don't run into somebody like that. Because they followed him for what? Like, they took all kinds of streets, and they're following him and stuff like that. They're literally hunting this person. They show... If anybody's trying to say... I don't know what the narrative is, but if they're trying to say, like, oh, you know, they were trying to stop him and... they're trying to, because they thought he committed a crime or something like that. He attacked them first, which I've seen people say, oh, he attacked them first.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So you're telling me that if somebody points a gun at you, that's not a threat?
You're supposed to eat the bullet?
You're like, that's not a threat.
Just eat the bullet. Two random dudes hop out of a car. I'm not supposed to fend for my life. What am I supposed to do? This bullet?
Tell the teacher first.
Don't resort to violence.
Tell the teacher first.
Somebody points a gun at you, that's not a threat. But the cops shoot you for having a cell phone. So that's what I don't understand. Tell me, if somebody points a shotgun at me, I'm not supposed to be, that's not a threat. You know, like.
We're just talking here.
We're just having a problem. It's a promise.
Yeah. And I'm also seeing the people saying like, oh, there's no blood.
Oh my God.
Come on now. No, what is that? Is that argument literal?
They're literally saying it's fake. I've seen it.
Oh my God.
Prominent people on prominent platforms. Absolutely saying I didn't see any blood when there's a shotgun blast. Where's the blood?
I didn't see limbs flying in air. That's not real.
No. I've seen prominent people on prominent platforms.
Oh my God! Listen, get the fuck out of here!
I've watched enough Rick and Morty to know how limbs fly off people when people
GTA
get shot.
Doesn't work like that.
So I mean, this case in itself, like, yeah, the another interesting part was nobody was arrested. When the video came out and it started to go viral, that's when the guy was arrested. He was a retired police officer connected to the DA or something like that. And that's going to go, like, hopefully after we talk about George Floyd, we can talk about the culture of policing, because I do want to get into that. But, you know, it must be nice. I'll just say that. It must be nice.
Yeah. Let's talk really quickly. Breonna Taylor was in Kentucky, I want to say.
Yeah, Louisville, I think.
Louisville. And then Ahmaud Arbery was in Georgia. So let's go to the north, where racism is more over than it is in the rest of America. Racism is over in all parts of America. As we all know, after President Barack Hussein Obama was elected.
Yeah.
But it's especially over New York, especially on the island of Manhattan, especially in Central Park, where... Christian Cooper was encountering Amy Cooper, who, no relation, as you know, with whites. But the issue was that she had her dog unleashed while she was in the area of the park that's devoted to bird watching, essentially.
The Ramble.
And so, bruh is like, yo, can you, like, leash your dog? Seriously, like, you're scaring away birds, you're freaking them out. And Amy Cooper, who is basically just been shot and had a gun pointed at her dog and is acting in self-defense, are you recording me? Like, stop doing this. And then there's an aspect of this that happened before he started recording, obviously. So there's that sort of ambiguity, as always. So, you know, obviously there were threats and all the other stuff they're going to lie about. But Amy Cooper, what's on the video is Amy Cooper saying, I'm going to call 911 and tell them there's a black person threatening me.
African-American, get it right.
Yes, an African-American threatening me. Speaking of African-Americans, Sean's joining us.
Mr. Swart.
Sean. What did I just run into? All I heard was African-Americans. And speaking of African-Americans,
America, dog.
Look at my African-American.
Look at my African-American! What else do you
know? No, so we were just going through the racial list.
Oh, word. Okay.
This is a case where there's a doc in the chat, by the way. But anyway, this is a case where Christian Cooper was being followed by Amy Cooper, who said that I will call 911 and tell them that an African American man is threatening me, which is you could just take apart that as statement for what it is, which is basically weaponizing the police against a black person because you know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Because the police hear that a white woman is sad and freaking out and scared. And that's what she does. Once 911 answers, she goes from being like yelling at the camera and being like a barbecue Becky or whatever to like almost like fake, like doing her best, like
crying.
Fifth
grade.
Yeah.
But it was like fake crying. Like it was like fifth grade play crying. It's really bad. Like, it was like, okay, we'll put you in the play because your mom's the principal, kind of, like, crying. It was just really bad. And so, like, this entire thing is being recorded, and she looks like a dumbass. Her entire life gets destroyed, which is, like,
solid.
Probably not deserved, but kind of funny. And, like,
okay, I watched this video kind of before it got, not like I'm cool, but I watched it before it went, like, all the way viral.
Hipster bam over here.
Well, only because I'd be watching it. I click home on World Star at least.
Bam is Team Star.
No, I be on World Star heavy. So, when I saw the video, like I'm watching it. Obviously, it's only like a minute and 10 seconds. Like, I mean, I'm gonna keep it very real. I'm looking at this lady strangle that dog, yo. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
Bam cares more about dogs than he cares about people.
Well, you know,
yes,
typical vegan,
100%.
Like, I know what she's doing. And the thing is, like, I kind of already knew that nothing happened to him. But when I'm watching her, like, it just, she's hanging the dog. She has the dog off the ground.
Whoa.
You didn't see it? Like, dude.
No, I didn't watch any of this.
No, she has.
No, yeah.
It looked like the dog passed out at the end. The dog is like.
No, the dog didn't pass out, but yeah, the dog was also confiscated from her because in this video, because the dog's unleashed, she's like kind of holding it back. And it's just like choking the whole time by its neck. It's a poor thing.
She's holding it off the ground. Like literally, the dog is like barely on its hind legs. She's choking it. It's freaking out. The dog is like literally like. In the throes of death at points in this short video. Now, I don't know if it's a crime to call the cops for cap, but I know damn well it's a crime to choke a dog because I've seen Michael Vick go to jail for that. I don't know
how Michael Vick went to jail for the logistics.
I don't know how. I mean, I'm not even. This ain't even all the way a joke. Like, I don't know how that wasn't animal cruelty.
Yeah.
I don't know
it how. Was. That's why the dog was confiscated. Animal control but took it away.
Criminal animal cruelty, like criminal.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
You didn't see, like, the first part of the call? She's a white woman.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
what's a more premium situation being American than being an American white woman? It seems to be so premium.
A white man.
Hey, seriously.
True.
Woohoo.
No.
Everybody got real sad right there. Goddamn.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know which side of Sean was talking in that one. It was kind of it was funny. No. This is the we could throw in some Mexican cases of police brutality too. Because that happened in Linwood actually.
Look at my ID and they're just like what? Boom boom boom.
I've seen some really bad videos with police brutality with Hispanic individuals, really, really bad.
Happened in Linwood yesterday.
Yeah, the guy was pulled over. Taking off on them.
Yeah, he was pulled over, just started beating him over what was like a routine traffic stop ticket. Like, what is it?
The worst part
brake light time for your...
is like when he flicks off his glasses, and then the cop flicks off his glasses, and the guy is like on the fence, like hands behind his back, and the female officer's with them, and the officer just starts taking off on the back of the dude's head, like, over shit. And over. He like takes breathers. He keeps taking off. I'm like, what is even happening right now? Like, and the other officer is just kind of like backing up, and she finally kind of semi tries to stop him at the very, very end when the other officers show up, and then they kind of have him even more saying he's about to like do another one, and she like kind of holds him. I'm like, this is just
a couple bad apples.
Yeah. A
couple bad apples.
Jesus Christ.
They don't represent the whole force, so, you know, let's just make sure that's clear here.
And that sounds really bad, but I've definitely seen worse than that.
Yeah,
we've all seen worse than that.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about worse than that?
Yes, let's do it. Let's
because we've got sad, man. We've got the George Floyd.
Let me just get this in.
Super one last time. Bam.
It with the Amy Cooper thing, it didn't when y'all seen that dog, it didn't you weren't like, oh my god. Like,
I haven't watched the video, so I don't know.
I literally was like,
I would probably freak out because I hate seeing that shit.
So. Like, my heart was like, wow, like I'm literally watching a dog get strangled right now. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's that there's I'm definitely on the side of like I'm numb to so many of these things. So like there's horrific stuff, and like there was a point where I was keeping up with this so much more on a day-to-day basis that I had to be numb to it in order to like continue to do that job without further self-harm. But like, yeah, can't really do that. Anyways, George Floyd is the next thing we'll talk about now. Basically, this is I Can't Breathe 2.0, which is ridiculous. I don't even remember what the stop was for. Do you, Bambi, know what that point is?
Apparently, it was for a store. It was like forgery. Like, apparently, there was like a counterfeit $10 bill or something like that, and they called the police. Apparently,
what? Definitely killable offense.
That's so weak. Yeah. Holy shit!
And I have a habeas corpus right there.
Yeah, it is funny because literally, this is like kind of funny. The first time Caesar ever went out as a 21-year-old. We went somewhere in LA, but we stopped at 7-Eleven next to Sparkleberry. And the person in front of us had a $20 bill that was fake. They didn't know. And I remember the clerk was like, oh, it's not real. And the person was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And like, we're all like, just kind of like, oh man, like we're like comparing it with other $20 bills. And it was just like, it was nothing. The person's like, damn, I just, you know, apparently they just got it and they just ended up paying for the stuff and left. This guy got to get the police called on him.
And four officers on him.
For a $10 bill at that.
Did they usually do that at the bank?
Two squad cars rolling up. Jesus. Yeah, that should be something at the bank.
Like, anyways, essentially the part that's on video, which like I have not seen this video, just images, because like there's only a certain amount you can handle.
I watched this video and this like made me sick. It's bad
because basically one officer has his knee on the neck of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. You can basically see his like veins just like pulsing because he just like literally can't breathe, is losing oxygen. He's yelling that he can't breathe. And then people were saying, you know, it was Bam's point earlier, we need to figure out the whole story, we need to learn the whole story. It was taken from another angle. There are three other cops behind
him, and they're just standing there
trying to subdue him and get him down. They're standing there, but also like trying to hold him down.
Yeah, hold him down for his hip.
Yeah.
Police practice has always got to be, in order to take down one person who's on the ground, you need four people.
Four people.
Always. Yeah. And
one cop definitely stone faced and tell people like back up.
Nothing like the knee on the vitals to stop people from loitering. So like.
Seriously.
It turns out this cop had a record of police misconduct.
Oh, no.
That was going over, let's see, 17 different complaints that were filed against him over the years.
Holy shit.
With all of them, only one of them was closed with discipline, where he got a letter of reprimand. So that was on number 15. Sorry, that was on number 16. And there's apparently a story of someone who went to the Daily Beast, I believe, who was like, oh yeah, the same cop that had was on the neck of George Floyd. Turns out he almost, turns out he shot me in the stomach when he was arresting me on this like completely fake like charge and idea. He was just like, this guy is always literally guns blazing, going in super hard, living off his like high school bully complex or something. Like, I don't know. But again, just a couple bad apples. Just a couple bad apples.
Go ahead, Ben.
What
were you going to say, Dan?
No,
my bad.
I was only going to say that there was this point that if you have an airline, you can't say that, oh, you know, all of our pilots, they're really good at flying, but, you know, we have a couple bad apples. They just don't like to land their planes. Happens every once in a while, but, you know, it's a couple bad apples. Happens sometimes, but we don't tolerate that in any other profession.
It definitely does not happen as a pilot.
Well, say that to German Air or whatever that was.
Oh, my God, right? Yeah.
I'm like, I guess after everybody kind of talked about this, hopefully we can talk about the culture of policing, but this case in particular.
Yeah, you said it three times. We're definitely not going to talk about it. We'll talk about culture policing after Russiagate. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Culture.
It was, I mean, yeah, it's really heartbreaking to see something like that. Like, you know, it's just like, it can be anybody. Like, it could really just be anybody. Like, and Dan, going back to what you're saying, like, I used to really, really pay attention to police brutality videos. Like 2016, 17, I used to watch them all the time. So, like, literally, if you pay attention to it, like, you see it's everything. Bad. And honestly, like, so many times I watch videos and I would think of Caesar, like, damn, like, that could be Caesar. Because a lot of times these fuckboy-ass cops get mad over the silliest shit. They get, like, they go from 0 to 100 over, like, you, quote-unquote, talking back. And, like, I would just think of Caesar, like, damn, if Caesar's, like, getting talked to a certain way and he's, like, looking mad, then this cop just, like, goes crazy. You know what I mean? Like, because people like to say, oh, well, you know, you got to be like this. You got to act like that. You got to comply. You can't be saying stuff. It's like, no, I'm a grown-ass man. And if you're trying to violate me, there's a lot of people that don't want to stand for that shit. And I don't know what happened with George Floyd, but whatever happened, the dude that's kneeling on his neck, I think his name was Donald Chauvin or something Chauvin. Like, that guy, this is going to go back, and it's going to go into the culture. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say about him. But like, this video is so bad. Like, I don't know who's defending it. Like,
sorry,
I don't
know Derek Chauvin or whatever. Derek Chauvin. Yeah,
like, I don't know who, right wing weirdo. Like, I don't know. I haven't
How seen, can you defend that behavior?
Like, I don't know. I haven't seen any of them be like, well, you never know. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you're just not looking hard enough, because it's not like there is a coordinated effort against this. There's always like default positions. It's not like anyone in the media has like a set, like, they're not allowed to have their own positions. They just have their own set as the network mandates what the position has to be. So on Fox News, I think one of the stories is Laura Ingraham says that Trump can relate to police brutality because of the Russia investigation.
Oh, God.
There's no fucking
way. Because of Russiagate?
Holy shit,
dude. Are you serious?
Mueller stopped and frisked Donald Trump.
Right. That.
Did Mueller, like, teabag him on the ground or something?
I can't even imagine, like, she said that with a straight face. Like, I don't know.
Hands up. Don't indict.
I don't know how you don't laugh at her. Like, she deserves an Oscar just for being able to say that with a straight face.
But, you know, they're just filling time. Sean Hannity tonight was talking about Cardi B's response to the Minneapolis protests, which we'll get to in a moment. But the main thing, thank you for teeing me up, Bam, was that Bam was like, I can't imagine any particular person who could possibly be going against these shootings and talking about them being bad. But Candace Owens. says black people act like trained chimpanzees whenever a black person is murdered by a white person. Impeccable choice of words by this woman in everything she said.
Herself.
No, no, you need more than one line. I don't really know what Candace Owens' deal. Maybe she's like been in quarantine too long and has a case of the dry box, and so she's getting a little bit like loopy in the head. I don't know what's going on with her, but like she needs to stop. Like, this is a little bit too far. Like, I don't know. Like, she's gonna be camming with Doja Cat next week or something.
I'm down.
Like,
Candace Owens, honestly, like,
this is extreme. Like, this is like, there's the Larry Elder. Sorry, Bam. Like, there's the Larry Elder level of like selling out your culture, which is like, you know, all blacks need to do is pull up their pants and get jobs and build businesses, and then that's what they'll, that's why they'll build themselves up. Instead, they rap and they lower their cars. There's that kind of racism, and then there's like, straight like, don't you think black people's nostrils look like apes? Which is like Candace Owens,
yeah,
she's nearly this close. She's like, black people act like chimpanzees, like. She got her a start by playing the race card against the mayor of someone in Massachusetts. So she knows these racist like tropes. She's not stupid. She's doing this on purpose. And so to know she's doing this on purpose essentially for free, because this was on her own like web show. Like, it's incredible.
Can we get Rachel Dolezal back, please? And carry her ass somewhere, please? Can we get Rachel Dolezal? Hey, I want to hear Caesar talk. Cause Caesar over there looking real angry right now. I need to hear what's on Caesar's mind right now. Caesar's over there tattooing his own arm right now.
It's just like, I just don't under like, I don't like, I think sometimes I think that I'm like, there's two things that piss me off about the video, especially relating to what we're just talking about kind of earlier. And it's the culture of everything. Like, it's not even like the police thing was bad, but the worst part is like the people like asking an officer to stop, please. Like, he's dying, officer, stop, please. And like the one officer like doesn't even like, he doesn't have the time of day to like glance at the person on the ground. Like, dude, like that shit, that's like a fucking human being, man. Like, it's not even like,
to you, to you, it's a human being, not to him.
But that guy's a fucking minority, too. He's like an Asian dude. Would have made him more special than anybody in the scene.
Absolute power corrupts, absolutely, at the end of the day.
Hey, man. Hey. Hey, man. Hold up. The police is a mafia, dude. It's a gang.
Let's talk about the culture of policing, because we're getting there anyways.
It's all it is a gang. Like, honestly, it's just a gang. Like, the Bad Apple stuff, they're not all bad. Like, miss me with that. These dudes are public servants. They hate for you to feel them doing their job. These cops will punch, break people's arms, arrest people for trying to record them doing their job. That's because they're a gang. There's been so many cases of police officers going to go testify against other police officers and getting murdered. This happened in Baltimore just a couple years ago with the gun trace task force or whatever. That was super corrupt. All the police is just a gang. They got a badge. They get a license to kill. They don't have to pay for their lawyers. So it's just it's unfair, but it operates like a mafia and a gang. And the biggest problem is like the culture of policing, that it's like a mafia and male insecurity. That dude is sitting is on that guy's neck because he's racist and he's insecure as fuck. Like, there's nothing in him that feels like I'm lame for doing this. Like, he should feel like lame for that. Like
do lame is an understatement.
Well, I mean, lame from my, from the way I say it. Like,
no,
you should feel sad.
Yeah,
you're not.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah,
like, how did I end up here? How am I doing this?
You should feel reprehensible. You have a lack of humanity.
You get no points for that. You don't get no points for doing that to somebody. They're already on the ground. You got your neck, your knee on their neck. But like, your job is to be a thug and a gangster and to like make yourself feel cool and macho because you're a punk ass insecure loser and you're in a gang. Like, that's it.
In the
taxpayer funded gang.
Exactly.
In the past, I would see videos like this, especially like the 2016, 17 days. Bam will send me this video, and I just get super angry. Like whether it's a dog ripping off a guy's face, or some 16-year-old getting his ass beat in the backseat, asking for his mom, whatever works. And I would just get upset, and then and another day we'll forget about it. Another video comes up, and we channel this anger and this thing. I mean, to this point, the George Floyd thing got everybody so mad that it's almost like the Ahmaud Arbery thing just kind of blew by too. Like, that's just how it is. Like, there's not the energy's invested towards being angry, but there's no energy invested towards making change. And the thing is, what I'm not saying is that like, oh, like what we're going to talk about, of course, later, like the results of everything and how people are acting. That's not my issue. That's not even like a main focus to me, or even 10% of what I'm even concerned about. I'm concerned about what are the options we have? What is something that people can do? What's there out there? For example, I found this article. There's something called MPD 150 in Minneapolis, where the people are trying to pass a bill they want to bring it up to defund the police department because there's alternatives towards community safety. And there's articles in the Star Tribune editorial there talking about it. So things like that need to be picking up steam. Discussions need to be having like that with the public. That needs to be brought in front of council members and people instead of oh, here's this video and like here's fuck cops or whatever. Let's and then like the next week another person dies, like for sure, like riot, whatever. Like, that's gonna be a result because humans are allowed, have the right, especially in this country, to feel how they want to feel. They if they're not gonna be listened and heard, then that's a result of the actions when you keep stepping on people and murdering them. That's what's going to happen as a result. But the other part of the energy should be invested towards looking towards alternatives and what else we can do. Why is the term police the only answer to life? Who said that? Who said that's the commandment? Who said that's like set in stone that a police officer is the only way we can have safety? Bam is in this house right now. There's no police officer there, and there's no real police officer stopping someone from hurting him right now. There's alternatives we can look at towards community safety.
And why we gotta be so scared of our police here in America?
That's a big thing.
Why is it the three times in my life that I don't even like to do this shit? The three times in my life I've been an officer. Why do I have to think in that moment? Oh, like I hope I'm doing everything okay.
Because he might kill me.
Especially if all I've done is either been in a carpool lane. Why do I think I need to chill out? Why? No fucking why though. The other time I'm at Stanford jogging, why do I think like I'm not supposed to jog at 9:30? Like, why?
Because yeah, why
is that feeling engraved in me? That's not fair.
Because it's a gang. The same way if you was at the liquor store and you seen a bunch of dudes they're gangbangers. Maybe I shouldn't have worn this red shirt.
Maybe I should drop this Gatorade and come back later. I don't want that feeling with a police officer. His car says protect and serve.
You paid for that car. Why we gotta be afraid? You go to other places, people treat the cops like whatever. You know?
I kid you not, I swear to God, in Brazil, I see a cop and I don't even blink. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, it's a cop, whatever. Here it's like I'm like, even 2% of me feels like I have to be on heightened. Why do I have to be on heightened alert? He's supposed to be watching my back. I shouldn't have to be tripping.
And every single person feels like that. Every single person.
100%.
It's ridiculous.
No, that's all races. I've seen videos where they pull over little blonde white girls and they're shaking in their boots. They're terrified. Everybody's afraid of the
cop. If a cop came and knocked on Sean's door right now, the first thing anybody says is something wrong. What did I do? Like, that's the immediate thought. It's not he's coming to like make sure I'm okay. That's not the case.
We don't even think of that as like being the standards. Always they're there to like,
enforce. They're there to enforce, protect. Yeah. What you think immediately is enforcement and violence. That's the first thing you think of. Violence and enforcement. Why?
Because it's a gang. That's why.
Switch the car up. Just ride on the car. Here for fuck shit and enforcement. That's what I'm here for. Go ahead. Then I'd be like, well, at least I know what they're here for.
Give them low riders and 96 Impala. Yeah.
Give them Mad Max cars with the spikes on the shit in the side. Whatever.
I was gonna say go ahead, because I have a long thing to go on. I'm about to.
Okay. Give them Death Race. You seen Death Race? Make the cars like Death Race. Okay,
make them like Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Right.
No, like the thing with the police is, so there's A, it always comes back to the military-industrial complex. Mm. So what do you think happens when we pay Halliburton and Northrop Grumman and all these other companies to send a bunch of military equipment over to the Middle East, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to all of our military bases in Poland and Sweden and the Pacific Rim? What happens when that stuff just sits there unused and ends up taking up space at bases in America? Well, there are actually these programs the federal government does with state and local governments where they allow the police to use some of the military equipment and repurpose it. Think of it like going to Hertz Rent-A-Car and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy me a used car. You know, maybe it's been a little bit dinged up a little bit because everyone treats it like a rental. But hey, I just got a new Abrams tank from my local police department. So like, and I got it at a cheap deal. And so this... maybe some people are trained on it. Probably not. Usually not. But the shit's just like sitting in these police department storage units, and so they're just like itching to use them. It's like buying Red Dead Redemption, and like you don't use it ever. But then like all of a sudden you get like the Call of Duty to serve, and then you pull out every single stop and thing. That's why you have this military level riot gear that's happening right now. There's just this video of cops in Minneapolis driving by, like literally holding corners with understeer and their Ford Explorers spray out the windows at protesters. Like it's like their fucking raid. You do this when you don't have a regard for the people who are protesting, the people in the community you're supposed to be protecting. You do this like with California Highway Patrol, where they basically just like drove over those protesters the other day in downtown LA when they were protesting. It's...
how is this any different than what the Chinese government's doing to the Hong Kong protests?
That's legitimate.
The only difference is the spying isn't there yet.
I have a question, Dan. So this is my question for you. So why is, what do you mean by like, oh, this is a result like of the military industrial complex? Like, what do you mean essentially by that? What's going on? Like here, this guy dying with a knee in his neck. What is the correlation with the military industrial complex?
The military industrial complex has created excess need for war. It's like I see it as an economics thing where like the demand for war equipment and tactics, and as a result of the equipment that America has made from their war effort, that trickles down through the system to police forces. Then the police feel militarized. Like if you're gonna have the police tank, if you're gonna have more realistically that like sonic crowd dispersal thing, where it like sends these sonic waves that like hurt your ears so you leave. If you're gonna have these like military grade canisters and pepper spray, then that's gonna impact the way you interact with you're not gonna treat them like your fellow citizens. You're gonna treat it like you are a military. You are the army.
So like occupying force.
The occupying force.
But
I think it's a mindset thing.
My thing is okay, that's true. But the same kind of protests, or there's protests happening every week. We just had a bunch of people getting turned in front of Baskin Robbins, and the same canisters aren't used, or the same energy isn't used upon mass crowds in different situations. So is it military industrial complex, or is it just because your skin is darker than the next person that the reason you're getting to see tanks instead of sunglasses and short sleeves like that what like what's the real deal?
Oh yeah, it's definitely
both. Can I read this really amazing tweet by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? She tweeted yesterday. She said, I mean, and honestly, like, I give her a lot of credit for this. She tweeted, I'll just say it. A lot of politicians are scared of the political power of the police. And that's why changes to hold them accountable for flagrant killings don't happen. That in itself is a scary problem. We shouldn't be intimidated out of holding people accountable for murder.
Holy shit.
She's talking about like how the mafia used to be intertwined with government.
Yeah.
Mafia killed JFK. This is what, like, you're talking about, like, organized crime with political power. And to hold that accountable is difficult, but, like, people like those people are scared to talk about the cops. You like they're scared to die, like literally. Like you're gonna be afraid if you're some local politician, like, hey, we're gonna get in this police department, we're gonna do some
have police accountability forces.
Yeah, but like
strict like, how much.
Yeah, like talk about like spending and stuff like that, make sure there's not excess. Like please don't talk about that. They're gonna kill you, man.
At minimum, they're going to use, you know, the fraternal order of the police union. They're gonna use all the public political ways to apply pressure. They're gonna use the ads saying this mayor's tough on crime and all this stuff. And that's the stuff that's public. You're getting to the stuff that's like gonna be behind the scenes, those pressures. That's what I'm saying. Like it's all encompassing in that.
The one union all these right wing fools are down for, the police union. The one union. They don't got no problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, folks, rioting. Yay or nay?
I don't want to expose you for what you said before we got on. But
no, don't expose me. Just give your opinions, and then I will express
my opinions. No, I'm joking. You know. Rioting is an old American tradition,
and it is.
I feel like when that happens, it's interesting how the narrative starts to become like, oh, you're destroying your own community. Like, really, Tommy Lauren? This is America. We're Americans. The whole thing is our community. Okay, it's all public. We're getting. This is an old American tradition. You're upset. You get out there and you fuck shit up and you destroy stuff. This is how we get down in America. This is how we turn up. This is how we built this country is off riots.
Tommy Lauren is an idiot. My community isn't the 405 South, you dimwit. My community isn't Target. I don't give a fuck about either one of those. Neither one of those make me. Neither one of those is not considered my community. Okay. And if anything, like look, you keep having police officers murder people, not like hurt people, not beat people, not unlawfully arrest people, and then they get free 30 years. That's already an issue. You're fucking murdering people, okay? And it's murdering people from our community, right? Our community. So I don't understand. Do you in life, are you supposed to just keep getting poked, kicked, knocked down, pushed, and just eat it and just go to sleep the next day because you're hoping that Fox News is going to print an article saying that everything's going to be better tomorrow? Is that what I'm supposed to fucking do? So you as people, especially what Bam said, this is a foundation. This is basically a foundation of America. Rioting's been here. They were throwing goddamn tea leaves in the fucking water before. Shit's been happening for the longest, okay? So I'm not going to be upset at my neighbor or someone across the street right here going outside with a bandana and some fucking flames and going to turn shit up. Why should I tell him how he's supposed to feel being a black person here? How am I supposed to tell him how he's supposed to feel? Because no one has had any answers for the last year on what we're supposed to do with the police and what the police are supposed to do differently. So don't come around trying to tell people what they're supposed to be doing differently when you can't even manage the people that are causing the crime in the fucking first place. If you
nor has there been any action
that's murdering people, then don't come at the people that's burning shit down first. Take baby steps in fixing your initiatives, and maybe the people won't burn shit.
Literally, like, there's people lose hope because there's no action on things. Like, it's I think Chance the Rapper tweeted out this long list of just like names on like 9-point font of victims of police violence, and it just like goes on and just like, oh, there will be no point where conservative media goes, oh, we've hit number 500 in terms like we should really do something about it. There's not going to be no time where they're going to like not character assassinate someone, not going to like file through this person's record and Facebook friends and goes like, oh, someone they dated ended up becoming a prostitute, so it turns out that he was a bad person. Like,
yeah,
they will if they have a squeaky clean, he went to straight A's, went to Princeton, got tutored five kids, was killed by police in front of an animal shelter, they're still not going to advocate for police accountability. They're still going to protect that, like, blue wall. Yeah, you get hopeless when you see, like, it's the same with police, I'm sorry, same with school shootings. Like, it's not like, oh, this time it happened at a church, this time it happened at a Walmart, this time it happened at an elementary school. We must do something about it then, and nothing happens. Like, this is going to happen. It's going to happen economically, where, like, oh, there's this coronavirus thing where people are losing their jobs and they can't afford food and food is scarce. Surely they're going to come in and make sure people don't starve to death, and then people are going to continuously realize, as they have throughout history, not just American history, but when serfs decided to storm the kingdom because the king wasn't sharing the food properly.
Bolshevik, like, revolution.
When you lose... Yeah, when you lose faith in the powers that be, whatever those powers be, people start revolting and people start fighting back. And it's not the spot the target dog is going to forgive. He and State Farm Insurance are going to be totally fine in a couple days with the broken glass. But the life's not replaceable. And it's worth a thousand targets.
Yeah, and also in Minneapolis, that is a very multiracial rioting populace there. And it always is. It always is.
You need to build coalitions with all the rioters.
And I've been to Minneapolis a few times and, like, have, you know, some peoples there and stuff. Like, it's one of those cities. Like, people ride for each other. It's very diverse and people ride for each other in that sense. And, like, It's white people getting up in them cops' faces. It's black people getting up in the cops' faces. Somali people getting those cops' faces. Like, it's going down. And you know, for the people in the right-wing media, like, who are so upset about the rioting, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, we watched some people put on tactical gear and, like, load up automatic rifles
for the COVID protests.
Capitol building.
In Capitol buildings over a damn virus that they have no control over. Like, I come on, dude. Like, really? I mean, it's pointless talking about the right-wing media because you know what they're doing. They're just doing everything to make black people look bad. But
the video, it's like you're incensed by the video of people in a 405 South throwing a skateboard through a cop back window, whatever. But, like, you don't get more uncomfortable seeing 45 dudes with AKs and multiple machine guns standing in front of the goddamn government building. Like, to me, I'm like, yo, like, this is a one cop car on the freeway of retaliation. What, these guys are busting out all the weapons they were able to buy in this lovely country just because they're tired of being at home with their wife and kids. Just because they don't want to wear a mask to go to Walmart. Like, this is what the deal is here? The priority seems to me that everything else is more important than the lives of black people, Mexican people, whatever. Everything else comes down here. Masks and all that take a priority in terms of what we get. All of that is more important than the lives of people in general. Like,
the common denominator is the comfort of the comfortable ruling class. It's like, keep them comfortable, make sure they're happy, and as long as the world is catered to their interest and continues to be, and they don't notice any sort of interruption in that. It's like when a CEO's assistant isn't there one day and they're absent and they start realizing, like, oh my God, where the fuck's my coffee? And then all of a sudden, like, their emails are missing or whatever. And they're like, yeah, exactly. Whole day ruined. They're like, thing that was keeping me in the balance. Like, this is all upset. Now I have to change the world around this thing because now I have to actually deal with real person inconveniences. It's when a world's catered to that.
I want to know when the discussion stops. I just hate the point that's like either the individual themselves or someone else brings up, oh, like, not all cops are like that. The thing is like there's just a school of thought in the world. If you're a cop and you're reading this and you're offended, like, you're part of the issue, and also you're a fucking idiot because, like there's just no way that you see this video of this dude dying under someone's knee and you go, oh, hey, like, not all of us. It's not even about all of us. It's supposed to be a look at your badge, look at yourself, look at what's going on and going, I'm right now working for a public service. The people are paying me and paying this department and this department is doing what I thought I was, basically what I was sworn in, the opposite of what I was sworn in to do. So it's not about you looking at these videos and looking at comments of how angry people are about the cop or how everybody's saying about the cops. It's about you going, man, like, this is, things got to change. And I know that because I work here. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's like if you're in the military and you see war crimes and whatnot, and you're silent against it, but you're still against those war crimes. It's kind of the same thing.
No, it's even less than that. It's merely a gang. Merely. It ain't nothing special. It's just a gang. Everybody knows this term. Everybody knows. Blue wall of silence.
Everybody. Yeah, that's how well we knew it.
Damn. Who am I doing this show with? Jeez. Like,
because no cop talks out. No one ever talks out. No one ever talks about it.
Because of this term, the blue wall of silence. That's popular. Yeah. That's like part of pop culture. People know that. Like, mm-hmm. Forget about like, oh, the police department's corrupt. It's just a gang. They don't snitch on each other. When Cameron went on Bill O'Reilly and was like, yeah, I'm not going to snitch. And it was like such a big thing. I'm like, the cops don't snitch on each other. Like, nobody comes out and says like, yeah, what he did was wrong. I can't fuck with it. By the way, these dudes are stealing money. This dude's doing that. Serpico was the dude Serpico in New York, which not Robert De Niro, Al Pacino did a movie based on Serpico from the 70s, I think. Mm-hmm. He was like exposing corruption in the NYPD in the 70s, I want to say. Like, he had to move to like Switzerland or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he was on a hit list, but in NYPD. It's all it is a gang, and they operate like a gang. And when they get caught doing stuff wrong, nobody's telling in the gang. Nobody's telling. And if they do, they get dealt with.
Yeah. Right now it's looking like in Minneapolis, the third precinct is being burned.
Okay.
The police precinct where they had, basically where the officer was from. Those officers, we didn't totally finish that story, but while we're here, I guess, the officers have been placed on administrative leave while they figure out whether or not they killed a man on camera. Like, again, all we're asking for is, like, why is he not in jail? Why are they not in jail for murder? How come I can't do that right now and be able to sit at home and have some chicken nuggets?
The lady that killed Botham John, the one, I forgot her name in Dallas, the cop that killed Botham John, went into the wrong apartment and shot a dude and killed him, and then was texting about it, and texting her commanding officer, talking about how to cover it up. She got 10 years. She's gonna get. Probably half time. If Trump gets reelected, she'll be out before Trump's next term is over for shooting Botham Jean in his own apartment while he's eating some Haagen-Dazs. Okay. They were trying to pull up some stuff about him. He was too squeaky clean. They were like, damn, what can we try to say? He is black. He got nothing. Man, you know, like, even like if these guys get charged with murder
related to Christopher Dorner, that's the rumor. I'm just like
freedom fighter. If they get charged with murder, those police officers or just that one guy Chauvin or whatever, the thing that'll make like I'll be like, oh wow, like okay, like something's happening, is if he gets at least the same or more amount of time as Muhammad Noor, who was the guy in Minneapolis. Who shot that white lady who I was like, well, damn, yeah. She had called the cops and she's like scrounging around in the alley high on meth or something like that. And he didn't know what was going on. He shot her. That's, if I'm not mistaken, I heard this earlier and I'm pretty sure this is correct. He was the only time a police officer has been arrested and charged for killing somebody in Minneapolis. And it's never happened when a white cop killed a black person. They've never been arrested and charged, ever. So
I mean, sounds about right. It never happens. Yeah.
So homeboy Chauvin or whatever, hopefully he's the first one.
First of many, hopefully. This is a role of accountability that needs to continue happening. At this point, the argument against, if this thing is true, what I'm seeing right now live of the precinct being lit on fire and like possibly burning down, this is a direct case of the riot helping. Like, because before they're saying, well, what does rioting do? What does looting do? It's like, well, in this case, they were targeting the riot, so it's like, makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, maybe Tommy Lauren.
No, but. No, it's okay. What Tommy Lauren should probably do is get in front of a police precinct. She should get in front of a police precinct and do the same thing that tree huggers do, tie themselves to the trees, tie herself to a police precinct. And so once Antifa starts coming up there and with the fire and stuff, to say, if you want to burn this police precinct, you're going to have to go through me. And then the Ghanaian like dancer meme where they're all just carrying the casket and dancing and shit. Oh, I'll have to bleep out that whole thing.
Yeah, 100%.
I thought you were going to say something about the chimpanzees that Candace Owens was talking about.
No, those chimpanzees would be an improvement to Candace Owens' sex life. That's all I'll say.
Interesting. Let's bleep that too.
No, that's going to be the podcast intro right there. Going so hot.
No more late night political port.
Like,
yeah, let's.
I mean, just to like, I'm sure we're wrapping it up. Like, when you watch so many police brutality videos, like I think Dan, you were saying earlier, like it sucks, but you do end up becoming desensitized. And I've seen so many, but this one did hit. This one did kind of hurt, and I think like it kind of shifted the energy in the country a lot. Like. Everybody's going through it with the pandemic. Like everybody's a bit antsy and everybody's like feeling off. Mm-hmm. And then to see something like that, it's just like, I don't know. It just, it like hit everybody. Like everybody was affected by it.
Do you think this will change anything though? Cause like we've seen this before where you have like little one or two like nights of protests here or there. I am seeing a lot more people who are white saying like, you know, it's enough for black people to kind of like talk about their pain constantly. We need to start like looking within our own communities and addressing this ourselves and speaking to it ourselves. I don't know what the change is going to be for this. Like, I don't know if this is going to be like, I mean, like as it, I'd love to come however long we do political report from now and say, okay, we're a month into the constant looting and shit is real out here. We are boarding up windows, runs on bank, like everything is like, all 1994
up. Yeah, so it's 94 like, again.
Yeah, but like, I don't think any sort of sustained like general strike or movement of action or anything that's like against the larger capitalist system is sustainable beyond like, two news cycles, which is 4 days. So like I interrupted you when you were getting to the point of like what this is doing to people in this situation, but I want to know if like will this situation cook up anything that makes this more long lasting? I don't think so, but I'm just like a constant cynic.
I mean, I don't want to say whether I think so or not. Like I'd like to be optimistic. I hope so. But I think what needs to happen, like this is what I think needs to happen. Like there needs to be an understanding that the police departments operate like gangs. Like people have to realize that. Like somebody needs to be confronted about that. Hey, like your department, like this sheriff office, whatever, it operates like a mafia, like a gang. There's no transparency. The public needs to know what's going on. It ain't gonna impede on your job or whatever excuse they end up having. Like, we need to know what's going on the inside. Like, we need to know. Because if not, then there's always going to be a culture of fear. There's always going to be like, oh, like, does this stuff just come out periodically to distract us? Like, there's always going to be those issues. If we, the people, the public, or at least like some independent entity or whatever can have access to the inner workings of these police departments, then nothing's going to change.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
Well, you walk in there.
Any final thoughts?
Walk up in there, damn!
I love the all these episodes end with me being the savior again. You yes! don't want that. You do not want that world, Bam.
You're not ready for an authoritarian left dictatorship.
Belgian dictatorship.
Belgian dictatorship, Dan. Yes.
Turns into Congo. Turns into the Congo. I got one hand. I got one hand picking rubber.
I'll put it like this. He's if Michael B. Jordan ran Wakanda.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, Caesar, go ahead.
In 2010, I got my U.S. citizenship. and, you know, it's when I don't really know. I know a lot of people who are immigrants to this country, you know, have a dream of becoming a U.S. citizen and, you know, assimilating with the country and just being called yourself American. And it's like, and you know, that's good. I mean, I can't ever tell someone how they should or shouldn't feel, and everybody should strive for their own goals, especially when, even though as bad as it is here, they might come from a place that to them was far worse. But to me, it's even more unacceptable that things are happening here, because it's like, why so many of us, so many of our, as immigrants, so many of our families make, you know, life-altering changes and decisions to come to a country where things are supposed to be better. You don't make a life-changing decision to come to a country and have a child, and just so happen if your child might be black, that they could die any minute by the very department that's supposed to protect them. So I just really hope that there is some kind of something happens. And, you know, people were saying at the same time that when LA riots were going on, oh, well, you know, that's unnecessary. It's unnecessary, necessary. But, you know, it did. It became a historical moment in history. People remember why it began, why what went down. And maybe, of course, I'm not. Maybe police aren't much better since then. But it was an impact. It was a time, and it was a time period. We still reference LA riots, and people were born way after that. You know, we still mm-hmm. talk about it. We still talk about, you know, what happened, Rodney King. We talk about these things, you know. And I hope that as much as we're talking about it, actions taken, and just changes brought, because the worst thing about that last video is that everybody's been in quarantine. Well, a lot of people have. There's been 60 days. People, 40 million people in this country applied for unemployment during this time. And at the same time, this dude died. At the same time, everybody's watching this video, and he's begging that he can't breathe, which has nothing to do with it. It wasn't that he just walked out of a church and he shot 30 people. He just came out of trying to fake $10 bills or a forged check out of a goddamn Quickie Mart. And he's on the ground with in a blood choke off a neck, off a knee. So
calling for his dead mom. Calling for his dead mom.
And then his lips are going blue. He's on the ground, and everybody's the voices go from "we're upset, hey, let him go" to "hey, man," like you hear the compassion. And as I said that right now, I got goosebumps. Cause I'm imagining just the feeling of seeing that and saying, "Hey, like, can you just get off him for a minute?" Like, He's unconscious.
Simple.
Like, it's not even that, like, he's dead. He's unconscious. What is he going to do? Zombie mode you? Like, he's unconscious. It's over. Like, and then they turn the camera, and, like, one of the girls is, like, running off crying. Like, it's an unbearable scene. It's unbearable. Part of me thinks this. I bet the Asian cop that was like, "I'm not going to turn around," I probably look so bad, I don't even want to see it. Like, it's disgusting. Every single one has something to it. The Sandra one's terrible because you're imagining her dead during the mugshot. There's so many things that are terrible, but this one just hit different because you hear the emotions change in the voice. You see the life leaving this man. And if you think doing things like that to people isn't going to result in actions being taken among masses, then you have a misconception of what Americans are. What America is founded on, and what America, how Americans respond to these egregious acts against them by what Bam called a gang. It's literally a gang.
Yeah. George Floyd, Christian Cooper, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, whatever their names. This has been Political Report. You're getting a double dose of it in a short amount of time, so appreciate that.
Fuck it.
Bam and Caesar can be found on We Made It podcast, whereas football / soccer cranks up in the world, they are back at it. We Made It podcast
social. When you posting these hoes, dog?
This one is gonna be.
Bam is the only person who will like jump himself into dating a podcast. So like I will appreciate.
People want to hear these. I tell people about these and they want to listen to them.
Okay. Well, as soon as Bam introduces me to his imaginary friends, we will start to podcast this up. Listen. I really think, Bam, that we could sell the Spotify for $200 million. We can do it. Just easily, an episode at a time.
Easily, yeah.
Sean keeps saying inappropriate things. We're on our way.
Hey, I didn't say anything bad today.
Yeah, no, you know better.
I know my place.
I am going to hard end on that. Thank you all for joining us. Check out We Made It podcast. Check out Audio Face podcast. Subscribe to us wherever you are, and we'll talk to you next time.